Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. I am your host, Kamel Thompson. And we got a good show today. We're going to talk about 50 Cent versus Stevie J. We're going to talk about that Breakfast Club interview with Eric Adams and the movement lawyer, Oluyemi Olorun. And we're going to talk about some MTA April Fools. We're going to show you guys videos. But guess what? It's no real April Fools. This is going to be the real deal of the things that we cover here tonight. Now, y'all already see the phone lines are open, 563-999-3714. If you want to donate, you see the Cash App above my head, $PROGRESSIVEACTION100. Make sure that you like, share, and subscribe this video. It's going to be a good one tonight, y'all. I'm telling y'all, it's going to be a good one. Before I get fully into it, you know I got to do some promo real quick. We are having an MTA assault rally May 1st at 12 p.m. at 2 Broadway. We are not safe riding the MTA. That goes for workers, riders, strap hangers, the community. We want everyone to come out. In the description of this video, you will see a RSVP link. You will definitely see that RSVP link. Oh, we have some important interviews coming up within the next few days. We have the first one. We have two retired NYPD lieutenants with two different point of views. What's the middle ground? I will have retired Lieutenant Edwin Raymond on the show. That's going to be large. We're going to have retired Lieutenant John McCary on the show, and we're going to discuss the things that's never discussed in front of the public between two NYPD police officers. That will be this Wednesday, April 3rd at 9 p.m. EST. And next Monday, we will have a conversation with criminal family and employment lawyer Stephanie Nelson. And for all the transit workers out there, this is going to be our opportunity to finally have someone in our corner that if you have an issues, you could go to her directly. Now, what's dope about that is we got somebody that's going to be dedicated straight for us. It's not going to be for free. You still got to pay those fees. We go have someone who's definitely going to be in our corner. Now, let me get into a little bit of entertainment news. I know y'all see the title of the show, 50 Cent versus Stevie J. Now, I don't know if y'all been paying attention, if y'all been under a rock, but 50 Cent and P. Diddy, they've been going at it for years. Come to find out, P. Diddy was messing with 50 Cent. Baby mother, Stevie J got involved, and let's look at what Stevie J actually had to say. Check it out.
Curtis, what's good, man? You and your feelings about Daphne? Does she look gang them? Or is it that you sucking little rock? However it goes, I want you to say, nigga. F*** all that. Since it's entertainment, let me beat the out of you on TV or something. Don't dust that. I'm calling you out. What you want to do, Curtis? Curtis!
Yo, that video was funny as all, you know what? That video was funny. I mean, and you know what? I hope that this is all just entertainment for real, because nobody don't need to get in trouble with none of this stuff. But you know, 50 Cent is the master troller. 50 Cent is the master. The only person that probably got him beat trolling is 6ix9ine, right? And you know 50 Cent had to clap back. Check out his video.
I want you to stay, nigga. This is entertainment. Let me beat the TV or something.
What happened?
calling you out. What you want to do, Curtis?
She doesn't go to hell. I won't beat your ass.
You talking about funny? Lord have mercy. You see grown men in they close to 50s or probably 50 already getting into the most frivolous stuff. I mean, I don't get it. But, you know, it's all entertainment. It's all entertainment. Let me know what you guys think in the comments regarding that. Now, I want to get into some MTA April Fools. But the stuff, let me tell you something about what's going on with the MTA, right? It's not really no April Fools, man. This stuff is really, really, really going down in these subways. And I want to just show you how easy it is to pick apart the lies of this transit agency. So let me get that video together. Check this out for real. Y'all really got to check this out.
Hey team, Rich Davey coming to you from my home station, Hudson Yards in the 7th. You know, March, we celebrate Transit Worker Appreciation Day. Today, I'm out throughout the system thanking not quite the 47,000 men and women that work for us, but I hope to say thank you personally to as many of our employees as we can. You know, we proudly and safely move this city 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, regardless of the circumstances, the weather, the holiday. And today's a day for management, but more importantly, our customers, to hopefully spend a moment and to say thank you and appreciate all that you do. As I often say, the work that you do goes both unsung and unheralded. Today is to bring that to the forefront. Second thing I want to talk about is safety. Obviously, while crime is actually down, we have seen a couple of high-profile incidents in our system over the last couple of weeks. We've been working very closely with NYPD to bring more resources to bear. We have over 1,000 new officers in our system. The governor has deployed the National Guard and the state police to help to be eyes and ears while those cops are doing bag checks. We are accelerating our camera deployment throughout the system and working with the district attorneys to ensure that recidivists in particular, those who are causing the disproportionate number of incidents and crime in our system, are swiftly dealt with justice. So we're bringing all of our tools to bear to ensure that our customers and our employees are safe. Speaking of customers, we've had a banner few weeks. We broke records for 2024 with over 4 million customers using the subway service in the first couple of days of March. We also saw us break records on paratransit. We had 37,000 customers use our service in early March, the highest ever, not just COVID, but the highest ever, with also the highest customer satisfaction. And the buses team continues to prepare for what I'm excited about, our automated camera enforcement, which begins in May. We expect that will pay dividends for our bus customers as well. So we have a lot of work to do, but today's about you. I want to thank every transit employee in New York and frankly around the country for your contribution.
Now, you guys want to talk about April Fools? I mean, he sent that out last Friday, but that was the biggest April Fools ever by the MTA. And the problem with their messaging is that they never admit to what they are doing wrong. There's absolutely no accountability when it comes to any of this stuff. No accountability. But I'm going to show you guys what the truth is in that video. So check it out.
We've been working very closely with NYPD to bring more resources to bear. We have over 1,000 new officers in our system. The governor has deployed the National Guard and the state police to help to be eyes and ears while those cops are doing bag checks.
State police and National Guard troops. All of this stuff is a big joke. Everything is a big joke. There's absolutely no accountability in any of these agencies. We see it in the MTA. We see it in NYPD. We see it in almost every agency. in New York City. There's no accountability. That's the real pandemic that's going around in this city, is that there is absolutely no accountability. And I'm going to show you guys more April Fools. And this time, this April Fools is from TWU International President John Samuelson. Now, when he said he got some exciting personal news, today I begin a three-month sabbatical to train for the Slap Fight USA Championship competition, June 29th in Stockton, California, representing Transport Worker in the Over 50 League. It's an incredible opportunity. Let's hope I don't get my jaw broken, right? And this is, of course, April 1st, 2024. Now, let me show you guys what's not an April Fool's joke. And it's for all the transit workers. This is not an April Fool's joke. What your union reps make and the output of work that they actually put in. If you look at the green, that's their gross base salary as far as being a union rep. Nobody, no union rep, not one top union rep made under $135,000 a year. And the red makes represents the reimbursements along with their gross salary. So we see a lot of them close to $200,000 a year. $200,000 a year. This is not an April Fool's joke, people. This is not an April Fool's joke. And let me explain something. Right? What in the world do they need a $40,000 reimbursement for? What are they spending throughout the year to have a $40,000 reimbursement? Right? And some of them know the game. There needs to be a forensic accountant on the union books to let us know exactly what's going on, because this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Absolutely no sense whatsoever. While I got y'all attention, what I need y'all to do, if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure to hit that subscribe button. Look, I got some videos that I guarantee that y'all want to see going towards the end of the show. Some real videos of what's really happening with the crime in the New York City transit system. These videos I got are going to be off the hook. The only reason why I don't put it in the title of the show is because if I put certain things in the title, the algorithm throws it off. But I have some very, very, very crazy videos that's going to be coming up towards the end of the show. So just make sure that y'all continue to stay tuned and make sure to hit that subscribe button right now if you're watching on YouTube, right? Now, I played this video the other day about the explanation of the new scanners that's coming in the subways, right? I'm going to play a little bit of the video, and I'm going to give y'all some updated details on those scanners, so check it out.
I could test how much of the show. They sound like a good singer, but they don't turn their chair around, and then when they turn the chair around, they say, listen, so come back next time, keep working on your skills, you know, you have some potential. This time, we turned our chair around, but they may not win. So we went and test them out. So, Mike, Brad, you ready? Let's do it. Guys, ready? All right. Okay. All right, we'll do one more time. I'll just turn around and see it again. Okay, go ahead, Mike. Go slow. Go on, set back.
So basically, for those who don't know what was going on, the NYPD got some scanners that now when you go through the turnstile, it could pick up if you have a gun on you or not, right? Now, this is the new information that transpired about the scanners, and it came from the CEO of the company itself. CEO of weapon scanner company showcased by New York City Mayor Adams, subway's not a good use case for those scanners. Now, picture them putting on this whole entire big spectacle of, oh, we gonna have scanners to address the gun violence in the subway system, and the CEO of those same exact scanners saying the subways is not a good use case for them. Can't win for losing, right? But it shows you one thing, that the NYPD and the people who is picking this product and testing out these products are not doing the right thing. They're not doing no research. They not. It's obvious they didn't speak to the CEO. They just trying to do anything to make people feel safe to get riders back on the subway. And they are actually gaslighting people who, the workers and riders. They gaslighting the workers and riders. And that's basically what's happening right now, right? That's basically what's happening right now. They're gaslighting the workers and the riders. And we have to be very careful as to where we get our information from. Now, speaking of Eric Adams, Eric Adams was on the Breakfast Club. And I felt that Eric Adams, in my opinion, he was ambushed, right? You had Charlamagne, you had DJ Envy, and you had a lawyer named Oluyemi Olorun. Right? Sharp sister, I appreciate her commentary. I like her videos. But she was not 100% right during that interview. She was not 100% right during that interview. This is a fact. Right? Matter of fact, let me play a little bit of that clip. Check it out.
You know what, you need to get on the train. I picked the train, you know, so you can get on the train. I'm talking about low-income New Yorkers should not have to carry the burden of that. And we ask to have more and a greater input and the shaping of that, but we don't. People don't often realize we're creatures of Albany. Albany passed the laws. We have to implement the laws that are down here.
I think you're right that there is a difference between perception and fact and how people feel about safety and the way people feel about the subways. And I think it's your own rhetoric about the subways that has a lot to do with why people feel scared, despite the fact that millions of people ride the subway every day without incident. But you've continued to fearmonger about crime in the subways. You've added 2,000 police officers, despite the fact that you've acknowledged that the subways are not that dangerous. And I think there is, you're right. And poor New Yorkers should not be the ones who bear the brunt of this, but they will if they already have the subway being turned into a place that they have to fear, that there's a National Guard, that there's a hyper-visibility of police, that they're trying to stop people with certain records from even using them, and now you have this congestion price. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, let's go before. First of all, I would love to give me the quotes on my rhetoric because I'm lost in that. Can you give me the quotes?
Oh, that you fearmonger about the subway?
Yeah, give me
You've consistently done that. Since day one of your administration, one of the first things you did was add 1,000 officers to the subway because you claimed that the subways are unrideable. You and Hochul did this and said how dangerous it is, and you recently did that when you deployed the National Guard.
Sister, but that wasn't my question. My question was, what was my fear mongering? What did I say?
You continuously say. I could point to a number of videos and quotes and everything from you.
Now, in that clip, Mr. Lauren was beating around the bush. And let me tell you something. If you don't have the information, you're going to believe everything that she says. And she said a few incorrect things during that interview. And one thing she said is Eric Adams' own rhetoric as to why people feel scared on the subways, as if the fear started when Eric Adams became mayor. See, one thing that I don't like, right? I mean, everybody got that they own fight. I think the majority of her fight was posing down Rikers Island and things of that nature, in which a fight that should be had, right? But when you start lying or not getting the correct information and gaslighting people as to saying, because she's basically saying that the subways are safe. The subways are not safe, and it was not Eric Adams who started that. Right? The subway's been unsafe. But the problem is that when we see people who say that they're lawyers, we naturally tend to believe them. We naturally tend that the information that they come with is correct. We naturally tend to just be like, all right, they must know what they're talking about, which is untrue because she doesn't spend as much time in the subways as subway workers. Nobody spend as much time in the subways than the workers. Ask the workers, do they feel safe? Let's start there. Because basically, being a casual rider of the system, someone who just used the system to go to and from work, use it probably for like 2 hours most a day, which is a lot. But guess who sees more than the person who's going to and from work or just traveling the system casually every day? The transit workers, right? The transit workers know what's going on in the subways. Ask the transit workers, do they feel safe? No transit worker feels that Eric Adams is fear-mongering when it comes to that. And guess what? I don't know anyone that will be upset for seeing more police in the subways. Now, my position is that police officers are not properly deployed in the subway system. That has been my thing for a very long time, close to 10 years. I've been saying that. Right? But there's not one person who will feel unsafe with more police in the subways. That's crazy for her to say that. Right? Now, another thing that I disagree with her with is that her facts, a few of her facts were actually wrong. But once again, for the people who don't have the information, who don't do the research, who say, all right, she's a lawyer, she's speaking confidently, she must know what she's talking about, it's not like that. It's not like that at all. And we must do our own research and check behind these people, because I'm going to play this clip and I'm going to show you guys what exactly I'm talking about. And it was easy to debunk. So check it out.
And when you were going to go to D.C. to talk to Joe Biden about the crisis, which was stopped at the
Did I make that up? That's reported. The FBI didn't seize your phone? The FBI didn't seize your phone?
No.
They didn't investigate your company. That's not happening.
What did you just say?
I said I remember the tour that you went on when you were going.
And where did I come back? I came back because somebody had to take my phone.
Because it stopped. I said, I remember on the day of, I remember.
Well, you got a bad, you got amnesia.
Oh, me and the dude.
Listen, Eric Adams was right there. He was right. She had the wrong facts. But once again, when we say we're a lawyer, people tend to believe that. And I'm going to show you. Eric Adams said, good Lord, you just making stuff up. And guess what? She's right. She said that Eric Adams had to come back to New York. Once he went to D.C., he had to come back to New York because the FBI was taking his phone or something crazy like that, right? But this is the truth. This is the truth. Eric Adams was going to D.C. on November 11th, 2023. You see it at the bottom of the screen. That was him heading to D.C. to go talk with the feds and Joe Biden about what was going on in the migrant crisis. I believe either later that night or early that morning, Eric Adams' top fundraiser home was raided. If you look at that date, that's Friday, November 3rd, the day after the news reported on it. Right now, she said that Eric Adams came back because they took his phone. That's untrue. The FBI did not take Eric Adams' phones until, what's the date on here? November 10th, 2023, a week later, FBI seizes New York City Mayor Eric Adams' phones as part of a federal investigation into fundraising. I want to play that clip again after I done laid out the evidence for you guys. But listen to her. She don't have her facts right.
And when you were going to go to D.C. to talk to Joe Biden about the crisis, which was stopped in advance, the FBI had to take it.
Good Lord.
That was, let me get this off the screen. That was so easy to debunk. That he couldn't go to D.C. because the FBI took his phone. That was 100% untrue. And what I would say is that she was not wrong on some of her points. Well, I didn't do the research to check it out, but the things talking about transit and why he took his why his phone was taken was definitely wrong. It was definitely off. And anything involving transit, y'all know I'm speak to it. But the Breakfast Club definitely ambushed Eric Adams with that lawyer. For those who don't know, she does not like Eric Adams. She has said it video after video after video that she don't like Eric Adams. Like I said, I think that she's smart. I think that she has a great thing going over there. But when you're a lawyer and you can't get the simple facts correct, that raises a lot of red flags for me. And if you want the information about what's happening in the subway, she could have tapped in. She could have said, you know, you're very familiar with what's going on down there. Do y'all feel fair or anything like that? But that wasn't done. But it's all good because a lot of people, which y'all going to learn, people are into likes, clicks, and views. A lot of people don't want the facts. They do not want the facts. They are into likes, clicks, and views. That's it. That is it. Enough of that real quick. You see, see how easy that was to debunk? See how easy that was to debunk? I mean, that was crazy. But look, even if Eric Adams was ambushed, he still got to be prepared, bro. But, you know, he was thrown, like he said, good Lord, you just making stuff up. And now I just want to be clear on this. I am not, like, I'm very critical of Eric Adams. Me and Eric, we go back and forth about certain things in text. I have not spoken to him since the feds took his phone. I'll tell you that much. But me and Eric Adams, we don't see eye to eye on the things that matter to me. So I don't want y'all to think, oh, you know, he's taping for Eric Adams. You can ask Eric Adams yourself the battles that him and I have in text message and how I criticized him on social media during the whole pandemic and things of that nature. So we can forget about that. I was being fair. I don't cape for Eric Adams. But right and right, wrong is wrong. Facts are facts. You are not entitled to your own facts. That's how that works. So while I got y'all attention right now, just know the phone lines are open, 563-999-3714. You could donate to the camp. You could donate to the CAM via Cash App, $ Progressive Action 100. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, I'm trying to get my YouTube subs up, so make sure you hit that subscription button, become a member of the channel. Now, look, this is the part where the show is going to get real interesting. It's going to get real interesting. I'm about to show y'all some crazy videos, and it's going to get worse, worse, and worse coming up probably like in the next 10, 15 minutes. So y'all definitely want to hold on. More transit news. And like I said, it's April Fool's, but this is not no April Fool joke. The situations in these subways are real, right? So there's chilling video shows stalker following woman on Brooklyn train chasing her down the street. This happened a few days ago, and there's actual video of this guy attempting to R-word assault a woman, and she's running for her life down the platform. Check out the video. Now, this woman was waiting for a Queensbound J train at Cypress Avenue around 6:30 in the morning. And luckily, she outran the guy. And nothing happened to her. But listen, don't let them gaslight you. Do not let NYPD gaslight you. Don't let the MTA gaslight you. Don't let these political commentators gaslight you, telling you that the system is safe. The system is not safe. There are a lot of crimes that don't get reported by the media. There's a lot of crimes that the MTA don't tell the workers about. Everything is swept up under the rug. The NYPD don't tell us about, and people is out here giving false narratives on how safe they think the subway is. They don't work here. If you don't work here, you cannot tell us how. If you're telling us the subway is safe and you don't work here, you're out of your mind. It's the bottom line of that. Another story is this. We see this all too often. Someone pushed onto the subway tracks. Art bag man shoved to death on tracks to stay off the subways. There's so many killers, right? This is not Hollywood. This is not a 2B movie. This is real life. This is real life. And you actually have people out there telling you that there's nothing wrong with the subways because You got 4 million riders and only 6 felonies a day. You don't need it don't have to be an actual felony to instill fear in someone to ride the subways. You could just see an EDP going crazy on the subways, and that's all it takes to make you fearful. That's all it takes to make you fearful. This city, there's so much thing. Like, oh, all right, let's say there's 100 felonies that happen a day in New York City. There's 8 million people in New York City. Does that make the city not safe? Does that make the city safe? Right? According to their narratives, the city is safe. If they want to compare it to the population, how many people is in the population? But it has nothing to do with that. And the only thing they do when they do that is they gaslight us. We just had a police officer get shot and killed in Queens, right? That's not the sign of a safe city, right? And speaking of that, let me bring this up. Governor Hochul confronted by Warner at NYPD officer Jonathan Diller's wake. Crowd applauds as she leaves, right? The crowd applauded as she left. Now, a lot of people is mad at Kathy Hochul because she was instrumental at creating the bail reform, right? Now, should there be bail reform? Absolutely. But the way that it's currently constructed, it needs to be tweaked. It needs to be tweaked big time, right? There's no way possible that they think that the bail reform, the way that it is now, it should stand. It should stand. There's no way possible that they could think that. There's no way possible that they could think that. Now, speaking of the subways, I want to show y'all something because at first it was reported that this person was dead and they was dragged off the train. I'm going to show you guys that video. Yeah, he was dragged off the train, but it don't get no more New Yorker than this. It don't get no more New Yorker than this. Check it out. Now that was at the 59th Street station, and when I say it don't get no more New York than that, New Yorkers do not like delays on the train. Now, there's some facts that I found out after the video was posted is that the person was not dead. They was drugged up really bad and they got up, I guess, when NYPD came. But the New York part of that video is that even the commuters know it takes a very long time for medical to come, NYPD to come to these stations and to these things. So that New Yorker decided to say, hey, I got to get to where I'm going. Let me drag this guy off the train and let's keep it pushing, right? Because that's another thing that people don't talk about in the subways. When people do need medical assistance, how long it takes for NYPD and EMS to arrive. It takes a long time and it caused a lot of delays and everybody is interrupted after that. Nothing is the same, right? People don't understand that the thing that transit workers go through when there's delays, sometimes we don't get lunch breaks. Sometimes we don't get to use the bathroom. We don't get to call our loved ones. Delays do not only affect the passengers, it affects us also. Now, in more crazy news, I'm about to play a very graphic video of a stabbing in the subway. These are the things that's not being reported by the mainstream media. These are things that's not being reported by NYPD. They love to take a picture when they catch a gun, but they never take a picture of crime scenes to show people really how unsafe the subways are. So let's check out this video.
You okay? Yeah. Are you so glad? You need to go to the shop. Yeah.
You're not going to see this news anywhere else. You're not going to see it in mainstream media if they don't know about it. You're not going to see the MTA report it. You're not going to see NYPD report it. There is straight anarchy in the subways, in the New York City transit system, period. And there's straight tyranny with all of these agencies. This is a fact. This is a fact. And you heard the guy say, hey, somebody got shot here, or there was a shooting here, you know, last week. Right? These are not situations that you're going to see in the system. Make sure y'all call in 563-999-3714. I would love to hear what you guys got to say tonight. And if you're watching on what you call like YouTube, hit that subscribe button. But like I said, they are not going to keep it real with us. They want us to and look, I'm going to say this time and time and time again. What they want from us, right? Let's be clear. Let's be clear. What they want the transportation system to be flourishing. They want to get people into the system, right? I get it. I get that part of the game. But keep it 100% with the people of this city. Keep it 100% with the people of this city. They have a problem keeping it 100 with the people. Now what's going to happen with congestion pricing, they're going to force people onto the subways. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to force people into the subways, and the infrastructure is not ready to handle all of these people. This is a fact. The infrastructure is not ready to handle all of these people, this influx of people to come on the subways, right? Now, I know a lot of people out there thinking, well, Tramell, you always talk about the subways and, you know, what be going down on buses? You be having... There's reports, I mean, people have actually been arrested for pulling out firearms on bus operators. There has been shootings on MTA buses. There has been fights on MTA buses. There has been stabbing on MTA buses. And I actually have a video of a stabbing that happened a couple of days ago. A lot of things happened this weekend. A lot of things happened this weekend, right? So don't think that all the crime is underground. Yes, the majority of the crime is underground, but a lot of things happen on the buses also. This is a fact. A lot of things happen on the buses also, and guess what? I have a video for you guys. Let me see. Yeah, here, go check it out. Oh, that's not it. That's not it. Let me see. Let me get to that. All right, here we go. A stabbing that happened on the MTA bus the other day. Check it out. I mean, y'all tell me, does this look like someplace that's safe? How can they continuously claim that the system is safe and every week there's new videos of some type of violence that could lead to death or has led to death? Somebody explain that. How does that work? How does that work? Can you hear, and I'm going to play the video again. Can you hear the fear in that woman's voice as she's watching this go down. You think that after she has witnessed that, that she's going to feel safe in the system, especially when she don't see a police officer? Do you think that bus operator don't have that in the back of his mind? And would y'all want bus operators who have that, who have witnessed stuff like this to be forced to drive you in the future? Because the MTA, they're not going to allow you to take no days off. They're not going to allow you to take no days off. You take a day off, they ain't trying to pay you. They deny your workers' comp all the time for situations like this. This system is so corrupt. It's insane. I mean, let's play the video again. Listen to her cries. That's insane. That's 100% insane. There's no way possible that the people of New York City can continue to be gaslit about this city being safe or this system being safe, right? And like, no disrespect to anybody who casually ride the system. But transit workers know best. We know best. We know best. Nobody could tell us anything different. Let me get to the first caller.
Hello, Tramiel.
Caller 6483. Now live on. Hey, what's going on? Oh, Celso, what's going on, my brother? How you doing?
How you doing? Bus operator Celso Garcia. Well, it's rough out there. I could tell you that much. Speaking, giving my personal opinion, is rough out there. I never seen things getting down like that on buses and on trains, not even in the 80s growing up. Never saw anything happening like that. And when they say the cameras keep us safe, man, there's no police out there. There's no, you know, no sense of security, no sense of safety. This is everyone's worst nightmare to witness this and have to see this type of behavior and this type of out of control things happening across the city. And then every time I see videos like this, it flashes through my brain, my children, my wife, everyone in my family, my elderly parents, my brothers, and also my union brothers and sisters, being out there in the line of fire and not being protected. That's my main thing, that everyone can say we're safe, but they're not out there with us. I saw Shakira on the 7 train. The New York Mets took the 7 train. I guess they were publicity stunts, but they had heavy security with them, along with the CEO Lieber and everyone else that rides the trains. And even, you know, I don't like to come at the union because I want to give them a chance to fix and correct themselves, but they haven't fixed and corrected themselves to be out there and be in the forefront. What happened to all the press conferences for all these other assaults? Right now they're just going along and hoping that things just clear up and no one hears about it. These are a lot of incidents that people don't call in, people don't report. As a transit employee, we're right in the middle and center of this, and they don't want us to speak about it, to even post videos about it. But it's out there. Everyone has a smartphone now. These videos are out there. And for them to not want us to speak about it and to try to silence the workers is the saddest thing, because we're public servants. We serve the public. And the last thing we expect is that when we sign up for this job was that we're going to witness violence or be victims of violence or have trauma to take home. And I hope this changes and they take this seriously and make sure that transit workers are paid, you know, when they witness this and allowed to heal and then allow themselves to not have to encounter this. If the trains, we don't see anyone out there, the buses, you don't see anyone out here either. That's the problem. Where's our safety? Where's our security? Where's our assurance that we should feel safe? That's my question.
I appreciate it. You made a valid point. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Have a good day and have a good night. And thank you for doing the show. And I hope more people call in and express their point of views. Just imagine your family being there in the middle of that, how it would change their lives, even one situation. So they say, oh, it's only 9 felonies. What about the ones that happen on the buses? Do they keep track of all the incidents on the buses? It's across different precincts. So you can say, oh, only 10 happen on this precinct, 10 happen at that precinct. Do they have a central place where they keep all the data? Or it's just like thing that they don't even keep track of? That's my question. Where do they keep all this data? Have a good night, Tramal. Thank you for your time.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. So he was asking, he said something very valid, right? For some reason, the NYPD and the MTA think that cameras are going to stop people from committing crimes. I tell you guys this all the time. There's a bank in every there's a camera in every bank in America. Banks still get robbed, right? The cameras are not doing anything. In fact, the people who are filming these incidents are getting better views of what's happening than the actual cameras that the MTA and NYPD have in the system, right? So the cameras don't keep us safe. What it does is that it helps you after an incident happened. Hopefully you don't get killed. Hopefully you don't get seriously hurt or whatever the case is. That's all these cameras do. These cameras do not do anything else besides that. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. And anybody who knows, who works for the MTA, the MTA don't care about, or I would say their primary use for those cameras is not about crime. It's to trap off MTA workers for disciplinary processes. That's what it's for. If the union was to negotiate with the MTA and say, hey, look, if you cannot use these cameras for no disciplinary practices, the MTA wouldn't want to put up the cameras. But the fact that they want to use these cameras for disciplinary purposes, that's what it's really there for, right? Yeah, they try to sell it as, yeah, safety, safety, safety. We need to put cameras in the cabs. All the cabs are going to be retrofitted with cameras, and we're going to make sure that, you know, when these crimes are, come on, that's BS. There's a camera at every turnstile. If somebody commit a crime inside the train station, right? You could get a photo of the guy, leaving the turnstile, whatever the case is. Or if they say, you know, we want to catch them in the act or whatever the case, that's BS. That is all game. Every single last part of it is game, right? And the problem that we have as MTA workers and as strap hangers is that we got these people, right? They tussling for views, likes on the internet, right? They putting out, and they got nice size platforms, and they putting out their narratives, right? And they controlling these narratives because, like, what's her name? Oleyemi Olorun. Oh, you know, Eric Adams, you gaslit You gaslit. As a matter of fact, let me play that video again.
You know what? You need to get on the train. I take the train, you know, so you can get on the train. I'm talking about low-income New Yorkers should not have to carry the burden of that. And we ask to have more and a greater input and the shifting of that, but we don't. People don't often realize we're creatures of Albany. Albany passed the laws. We have to implement the laws that are down here.
I think you're right that there is a difference between perception and fact and how people feel about safety and the way people feel about the subways. And I think it's your own rhetoric about the subways that has a lot to do with why people feel scared, despite the fact that millions of people ride the subway every day without incident. But you've continued to fearmonger about crime in the subways. You've added 2,000 police officers, despite the fact that you've acknowledged that the subways are not that dangerous. And I think there is, you're right. And poor New Yorkers should not be the ones who bear the brunt of this, but they will if they already have the subway being turned into a place that they have to fear, that there's a National Guard, that there's a hyper-visibility of police, that they're trying to stop people with certain records from even using them, and now you have this congestion price. So how do you reconcile that?
Well, let's go before. First of all, I would love to give me the quotes on my rhetoric because I'm lost in that. Can you give me the quotes?
Oh, that you fearmonger about the subway?
Yeah,
you've consistently done that. Since day one of your administration, one of the first things you did was add 1,000 officers to the subway because you claimed that the subways are unrideable. You and Hochul did this and said how dangerous it is, and you recently did that when you deployed the National Guard.
Sister, but that wasn't my question. My question was, what was my fear mongering? What did I say?
You continuously say, I could point to a number of videos and quotes and everything from you.
Shout out to Nick T for the super chat. He said they started population control with bail reform. Oh, if you guys send in a super chat, I'm reading your comments live on the show. But her information is incorrect right here. Eric Adams is not fear-mongering in the subways when it comes to that. Subway fear did not start when Eric Adams became mayor. That wasn't the case. That was not the case. And right is right, wrong is wrong. Right? And she was 100% wrong on that. And when you have people spitting that type of narrative, they are undermining what's really happening in the transit system. They're not examining how many transit workers are being assaulted. The situations, the EDPs that we have to deal with at the end of these transit lines. When we have to go investigate medical episodes on the train or whatever the case is, and commuters are upset because the train isn't moving, or if it's being diverted because of a situation because they think the train operator and the conductor is making those decisions. All of that plays into fear. There's not – people think that fear is this one monolith thing or this one specific thing has to happen in order to instill fear on people. You have all types of issues in the subways. You have mental health issues in the subways, right, in which NYPD do. Like if there's somebody, an EDP on a train, NYPD will pull them off the train and then throw them on the next train that come behind them. They don't remove them from the system, right? But you have all types of issues in the subways. You have homeless, you have EDP, you have crimes, all types of crimes, right? You have police officers who are not doing their job, right? There's a whole bunch of issues that's not being addressed in the subway system, and the only people who seem to address it is us at Progressive Action. Because guess what? Our union administration is definitely afraid of the MTA and NYPD, fact. So who is supposed to talk for us? Who's supposed to advocate for us? Who's supposed to advocate for us? Right? Our own union administration is not talking about how the NYPD is poorly deployed in the system. So who's supposed to be our voice? And then, you know, people don't care to get the right information. They only into likes, clicks, views, and likes. I'm not into that. We need to just get to the truth, the facts. And everybody is not entitled to their own facts. And I'm telling you, the only people who's going to pay the piper for this is the workers and the people who ride the system. on a regular basis. That's who's going to pay the piper. NYPD, they could protect themselves. They got batons, they got mace, they got stun guns, they got firearms, they got handcuffs. They could protect themselves. You come into the subways with a knife, you could get arrested for mace and all types of stuff. We are the vulnerable ones, the workers and the riders. The criminals, they got their weapons on them. The police, they got their weapons on them. The union administration, they don't ride the subways. How about that? And guess what? The people who make the rules, as a matter of fact, everybody who tell us that the subways are safe, don't take the system. When we're talking about the NY, especially MTA. And guess what? When they do take the system, they have armed security with them, or armed detail. Dan Oliva, armed detail. Richard Davi, armed detail. If the system is so safe, why do you need an armed detail to ride it? Does that make any sense to you guys? That makes absolutely no sense as to what they're talking about. No sense. But then, you know, so someone like me, like you already know, the MTA, they write me up for doing these shows. They write me up for doing these shows. Literally right now, I am here for dismissal reporting on these incidents. I got to go down to 2 Broadway on Friday because I'm doing shows like this informing y'all of what's going on truly in the system. So do they really want you guys to know the truth? Do they really want you guys to know the truth? They don't want y'all to know the truth. They want to keep y'all in the dark. They want y'all to think the subways are heaven. You know, crime is very low compared to how many riders there are. You know, we're putting the National Guard. We're putting thousands of cops. They want you to feel safe. And another thing, when she was talking about, you know, Eric Adams with the, and I'm talking about Oluyemi Olorun, that Eric Adams and he got the National Guard down there, him and Hogan. Do the research. The only reason the National Guard was in the system, it wasn't because of crime. They tried to make it seem like it was because of the subway crime. The National Guard was in the system because on March 7th, the day the National Guard officially came down to the subways, that's when the embassy in Russia found out that there was a terrorist threat in Moscow. So when there are terrorist threats abroad, the United States and these states have a tendency for guarding specific places and system. Why do you think you didn't see no National Guards in any of the outer boroughs? The National Guards was only at prominent stations, Grand Central, 34th Street, 42nd Street. That's where the National Guard was. So if you're not committed to doing the full scope of research, you should not be on these in front of a camera giving information. Should not be in front of a camera giving information if you're not going to do the full scope of research when it comes to these things, right? Everybody want to be a shock jock, likes, views, and clicks. That's all they care about. That's all they care about is likes, views, and clicks. Nothing else. Nothing else. That's why I tell you guys, if you live in New York City, or you live in a city with a prominent transportation system, Progressive Action is your go-to TV, specifically in New York City. If you want to know the truth, what's happening in New York City transit, you got to be tapped into this channel. If y'all watching, subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel. Tell a friend to tell a friend, subscribe to the channel. This is the only place that you're going to tell it, you're going to get the truth. This is the only place that you're going to get the truth. Now, as I stated in the beginning of this show, this Wednesday we have a very important interview coming up. And this is between two retired NYPD lieutenants Edwin Raymond and John McCarvey. Two different officers, two different viewpoints on the NYPD. What's the middle ground? This is going to be a groundbreaking interview. If y'all know anything about Edwin Raymond, he is a NYPD whistleblower. He told the world that NYPD purposely targets black and brown communities to get arrests, to make arrests. There's quota systems. He specifically exposed that. He has a movie on Hulu called Crime and Punishment, award-winning movie. He just wrote a book called Inconvenient Conversations with a play along with it to tell some of the story of the book. This interview is going to be groundbreaking, my people. It's going to be groundbreaking, and that's going to be this Wednesday at 9 p.m. We're going to try to break the internet on that one. And this is going to be a conversation that has never happened before. And we're going to learn a lot. And we're going to agree to disagree. We're going to keep it professional. And we're going to give the people what they want. Like I said before, make sure y'all like, share, and subscribe to the channel. Subscribe right now before you get off. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. I would like to thank y'all for getting these numbers up in a couple of weeks. We've been putting in a lot of work over here, but it wouldn't happen without you guys. I would like to say thanks. If you really support the channel, you can donate via Cash App right there, $Progressive Action 100. You watching on YouTube, once again, subscribe to the channel. If you really mess with us, you could become a member of the channel for 99 cents a month. That's right, only 99 cents a month. Become a member of the channel. I catch you guys later.